It's been, everything's happened at once is the thing. It's not like I went to work, it was absolutely dead. So I finished at like 1 o'clock, something like that. And then I got back, I had to call Tesco because we were meant to have a delivery yesterday and it never turned out. So I called them yesterday and they said, oh yeah, we're going to get it sent out now. Like, don't worry about it, it'll be there tonight. So we stayed up till like 10 o'clock, nothing. And then when I spoke to them today, they said, yeah, it's out for delivery again today, but we don't know when. Could be anywhere between now and like 10 o'clock. Cheers, then. I'll wait for my dinner, shall I? I'm glad I ate yesterday. Fuck me. And then I hung up, looked out the window, and it was Tesco delivery pulled up, wasn't it?
All right,
it was handy. And these two lads, they come to the door and they were talking to me about all they're doing today is delivering everything that was cancelled yesterday, that was meant to be delivered yesterday, you know. But I said, it would be nice if I got a message to tell me it was coming.
Yeah, at what time?
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're lucky that I finished work early, because otherwise you'd be knocking on a door with no one in. Do you know what I mean? What are you going to do with my food then?
Fucking sling it over the garden fence. If you
Yeah, just dump it on a doorstep and have done. No bother. Wolves can have it.
Yeah, fuck it, man.
Unbelievable.
You know, you live on the ground floor flat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do if you're not in? Just, bung it on the roof. Hope you find it.
That's what I mean. You're going to leave it in my fucking shed. What's the plan? I mean, leave it in my car park in
space.
That
is outrageous.
They'll soon find it. Yeah, I don't know. And half of it's missing anyway. Now that I've Ollie come back from uni and said, oh, should we have chili con carne in it? And I said, oh, let me just get the mince. Oh, hang on, there's no mince. Where's my fucking shopping? So it's like half of it's missing, which is good. So it's a day late. Nothing there. Yeah, then while I was putting the shopping away there, then I've got a union call as well. Because we've got a did you watch Simon Thompson last week on the select committee get absolutely torn apart?
Yeah.
It was quite good, wasn't it?
What did he expect? He got hit with the real world.
Well, they literally asked him questions that he should know the answer to. And he farted around for ages and didn't answer the question. And the geezer said, do you mind just answering the questions? Because this is getting a bit ridiculous now. Nothing. So anyway, the meeting today was just about how well he performed.
Or didn't.
It was honestly, it's like every meeting we have there is like boys club. Boys. It's just, Simon Thompson fucked it up. Like, it's embarrassing. It is. Yeah. It's, you know, and then they said we've got a re-ballot tomorrow to go on strike again. Mayhem.
Do you have to vote if you're part of the union?
Yeah. I mean, you don't technically have to vote. You can just leave it and you won't be included in the vote. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then when you see the statistics come back and they say there was 94% of the 114,000 people that voted, that means that there could potentially be another 100,000 people who didn't vote. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they don't tell you that. They only tell you how many of the people that did vote voted yes. Do you know what I mean? I think even if half of us voted no and half voted yes, they'd still push it through. Do you know what I mean? That's the way it is. So you may as well vote yes and have done with it.
Can't wait to see Simon Thompson come back against the MPs because you know for sure they're going to recall him.
Oh, so they said in a meeting today that they are going to recall him. Don't know whether it's going to be next week or in a couple of weeks or what, but the fact of the matter is the geezer didn't answer any of the questions they put to him, so of course they're going to recall him.
didn't he had any answers to give. Like, it wasn't just that he was evading the question, it was that like, he genuinely didn't know.
Well, I think the issue is that clearly he's not hands-on with the actual company. It's like the running of the company, fine, and the finance side of it, fine, but the actual day-to-day running of the business, the man didn't have a clue. He didn't have any answers to. I mean, the geezer, the guy, it got to the point where the guy was asking him if he knew what PDAs were, and because he said PVA instead of PDA, he's gone, no idea what that is, mate. Yeah. As if you're playing a game, just get on with it, knob. I don't know.
You didn't know how your You didn't know how many depots you had.
Mate, honestly, I don't know how the man's in charge. He knew. How can you imagine you owned a company and didn't know what the company consisted of?
Yeah.
How is it possible?
He didn't know the year that he forgot. He said he took over being CEO in 2020, but he didn't.
No, it was 21, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, do you mean, how do you not know when you started your job?
But I mean, he started talking, I don't know if it was in this one, or maybe I watched a different interview from like, not, it doesn't matter anyway. The guy was being asked questions and he said, he started giving out facts about 2018. You think you weren't even part of the company. Like, why is it even relevant?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Unbelievable. And as soon as they said, oh, you see when you started, they changed the rules of your bonus to how, you know, instead of how it's all going and how you're performing, it's if the shareholders have got some cash or not, whether the equity is good. Yeah. And again, the geezer didn't want to say yes or no because he knew that was putting himself in a bad light. Do you know what I mean? Throwing himself under the bus.
Also, when they asked him, did you know, do you think you're worth the 140 grand bonus you got last year? That's not an answer.
Well, we're all worth something, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, mate.
All right. Come on.
So, again, in the meeting earlier, they said that they've had a meeting yesterday. The union had a meeting with the shareholders, right?
Yeah.
And they'd said, oh, the shareholders have agreed with us that, you know, they're well aware and they've agreed with us that the money shouldn't have been given to them. It should have been distributed to the workers. But I thought that's all well and good saying it 2 years later or a year later, whatever, 2 years later, yeah, after they've had the money. Do you know what I mean? If you were to hold them accountable and say, well, can we have that, you know, 300 million quid back? What 300 million?
Yeah. Don't know about it, mate.
I tell you what, if you can follow the paper trail to the Cayman Islands, good luck to you. Job done.
It's registered in my wife's name anyway, so.
Literally there. Imagine someone giving you like £1 million and then 2 years later going, do you remember that million quid? Do you reckon someone else could have done with it? Yeah, probably could have done. I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I'm maybe
giving it back to you, so it doesn't matter what I fucking agree to, does it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I was meant to repay you, but shit happened.
I had a boat to buy, so.
Yeah. I had debts to pay.
Don't know about you guys over COVID, but I had a fucking lovely time.
I've never done so much coke in my life.
Oh, God.
I had a fucking whale of a time. You gave me 200 million quid, you stupid tosser. What do you think I'm going to do with it? Fucking idiot. Give me a blank check, you twazzock.
It's outrageous, good, though, honestly. That's how it's being run. It's not good.
Union boys are loving it because they can just point at the top brass and say, it's their fault, but we still need some of that money that you owe us. What fucking money?
Literally there. Yeah. Good luck.
Good luck getting anything out of tight-fisted Rishi Sunak. Scrooge with Sunak.
The man... I watched him in his PMQs the other day, and every time Keir Starmer said anything, he just got up and went, why won't you just accept the vote? Why won't you just vote yes with us that we can fucking take power away from everyone? Why do you think? Fucking idiot.
Now they've got a clue, have they? They do not know. When was the last time they went down into a council estate Best Buy? Bought some 69p toilet roll.
When was the last time you reckon they even drove past a council estate?
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, let alone go near one.
I think, right. If MPs were forced to start wiping their ass with one ply or half ply toilet paper, right? Like everyone else on the council estate, I reckon they'd fix a few things pretty quickly.
I'd promise you within a month there'd be a bill passed that it's illegal to have anything less than three ply.
Yeah, exactly right. As it should be. Do you remember the stuff they used to stock the toilets with that was essentially just tissue paper that had been, like, it'd been wet and dried on the radiator?
It was, like, pre-used.
It was awful, mate. It was like, it's like wiping your toddler with razor blades. No way it was fucking shave. I used to take Sudocrum to work sometimes if I because of the chafing. No joke. If I knew I'd be there for 8 hours, I'd take Sudocrum with me.
That's not good, is it?
It's not awful, mate.
Not okay. Do you know what? I was talking, there's a guy I work with, and he was saying earlier about he used to work in pubs. And how he doesn't go to restaurants anymore because he knows, like, how the food's prepared. He knows what goes on, especially if it's busy. And you think, imagine how long we worked. Like, I mean, he worked there for, I don't know, a couple of months, whatever. I didn't ask. But I mean, you know the filth that goes on in front of people, let alone behind closed doors. Do you know what I mean? Certainly puts you.
Oh, dear. Well, when you really get up close and personal and smell the cooks, it really puts you off the food.
You can the problem is you can taste them before you can smell them. Walk in the kitchen, it smells of depression and poverty in here. Fuck me.
Smells of armpit grease.
Smells like chode juice.
Knob
cheese. Quite literally, like unwashed bum holes.
Yeah, it's not right.
Testosterone fueled fucking unbathed humans. That's the one. Anyway, how's your week been? All right.
Yeah, mate, it's been fine. I injured my back on Saturday in the gym,
no.
But, you know.
What were you doing?
Deadlifts.
What? A man of your stature?
Yeah, well, I used to be really good at them, and I just forgot that I hadn't done them in a while and went in and tried to do it, and I realised that I'd forgotten how long it took me to get good at them, so I need to take a step back and let my back heal for a second. Honestly, I've ruined it, yeah. So, I'm alright, man.
It's not good, is it?
Yeah. No, it's not. Other than that, it's been the same old working hard with council, you know. Given that I've got my last meeting on Wednesday, so I'm looking forward to getting shot at that.
Very nice. What's your plan after that? What are you going to do?
I've just got uni work, man. You know, I've just got too much to do that and the council work at the same time, so I'm just focusing, you know.
One had to go. Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah. So, that's pretty much it. I haven't done a great deal this past week. Yeah, last night, obviously, we were going to talk, and then I just decided to do a load of admin, which was great.
Well, at least you got something done with the evening, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a complete letdown, as usual.
It was quite funny seeing how stressed you were getting. But
it's just everything, man. I don't understand how it happens. But, like, one thing rolls on to the next, you think, I haven't got time for all this, fuck me. I got time in a day. It's a problem. I don't understand. I said this the other week, didn't I? Yeah. I don't understand these people that have got 40 hours in a day. I go to work, I come home, I have dinner, I go to bed. I've got no more time.
Yeah. Yeah, the time between about 5 and 7:30 seems to go really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get to 7:30, you think, well, you know, I've got to go to bed in 2.5 hours or 3 hours or something, because I don't want to be knackered for the next day. Yes. And you say, well, I mean, I've got to start getting ready for bed at like gone 9 then, so that's 1:40 away.
Yeah.
Exactly. What am I going to do for the next 1:40? I'll read, watch, maybe watch half a film. Anyway, lad, what have you been watching?
Cool. I tell you what, I've actually got quite a nice one for you, because we mentioned it in a previous episode. I better just do that. He's been watching the telly! So this week, I watched two series of The Witcher, as recommended by you. And then I went on to watch the series of Blood Origins, yeah. So, because I haven't read the books, because I haven't got any clue about it, I did really enjoy it, to be fair. I was surprised, because, like I said, I watched one episode of it a couple of, maybe 6 months ago, a year ago, and I wasn't that fussed by it. But watching it again, yeah, it was quite impressive. It was good. The first series was really good, but it was kind of confusing to follow, except for the fact that you told me that it wasn't in a chronological order, so I understood it. Whereas the second series, as it is in a proper order, but some of the stuff just didn't make sense. Like, it was a bit far-fetched of it, because all of a sudden you're introduced to all these other things that can happen, and you fucking, you know, world hopping and things like that. You think, oh, this is ballistic,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it was still, I mean, I still enjoyed it, you know. I didn't understand, they said about The Witcher, you know, they're like, where they go for the winter.
Caermorhen.
Their hold up, yeah. They said, oh, we never bring anyone here because it's, you know, we don't want anyone to find this. And then literally in the next scene, there was like 20 women just knocking about.
Yeah, yeah.
How has this happened? You've literally gone against yourself within seconds.
Yeah, it also doesn't make sense because in The Witcher lore, the whole point is that Caermorhen is meant to be essentially inaccessible in the winter. So if you don't get there before winter sets in, you can't get there.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
But they just fucking come and go freely as they please. There's no
bother.
Walk out the door and go home.
No fucking village within like 20 miles is meant to be. So.
Do you know the other thing? The guy went to fucking, is it Sintra?
Yeah, yeah.
They were talking about, oh, we need to get to Sintra ASAP. And then 10 seconds later, he was riding horse back into town. How?
Yeah.
How did that, how has it happened? I mean,
should be 2 weeks ride. So what's happened in that 2 weeks? Yeah.
But fuck all. The guy doesn't need to eat. He just ploughed through it in a day. Quick horse, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's got Pegasus, is he? Fuck me.
Fly. Just fucking. Yeah, he just took Flybe.
Just fly. Yeah.
Ryanair flight to Sintra. Yeah. Logan Air. It's not right. I mean that kind of stuff irritates me because I can take most far-fetched systems. I don't mind systems, but they have to be systematic. Like, it has to work in the system, internally coherent. Otherwise, it will bother me. Like that did bother me because in the books, that's just not the case. That, you know, the books, it takes a long time. It jumps around chronologically, but it's the system works. Whereas in the series, it doesn't.
Yeah.
That stuff you mentioned doesn't happen in the books. Books definitely worth a read for anyone out there. They're easy to pick up and put down.
I would like to read them, especially after watching that. And the Blood Origins, I want to touch on that because that was fucking mental, wasn't it? I don't know if you watched it.
I did. I mean, I watched the first episode and I thought, I'm not sure I can do this, but I made it through it. It definitely had a lower budget.
Yeah, it definitely did.
But the CGI had a lower budget, damn.
Yeah. I can't remember one bit of it, and I thought, that's fucking embarrassing, isn't it? It's so painfully, like, B-movie. You just think, oh, look at it.
It's the first, well, no spoiler alert for anyone, so skip a minute here. But it was, for me, that the really shit, it was when they're in the courtyard and that monster comes and kills them all. Second episode.
Blue-eyed fucking dragon job.
Yeah, and honestly, the CGI for that is something out of like 2004 BBC.
What I'm saying, you may as well have had a man with a fucking stick.
Yeah, just fucking green screen. Like, it reminded me of the same level of special effects in the original, like, Chucky. You know, when he's got someone's hand, so you can see someone's hand up his ass, clearly.
Hand, but yeah,
you can literally see the arm just going like that.
Every so often, a bloke peer over the top, make sure he's in shape.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah, is that, yeah, cool, all right, carry on. Yeah, yeah, that was the level. But and what's more is that it's totally like only half of that is even barely true, but I don't understand why. Content series creators do that and don't explain it. Like, if they're doing it, what I mean is when there is an already laid out story which is already really good, and they just change it, I think if you do that, you need to justify why you've changed it. If they've done that because they think like the normal story isn't as bloodthirsty and appealing and sexy or whatever as they need to sell it, that's one thing. But at least say that. At least have the balls to say, yeah, we changed the story because we think it will sell better.
Yeah.
Winds me up.
I mean, it annoys me that if they've changed it to make it better, like watching that, you'd think, how fucking bad was it? Because this isn't great.
This is not all right. Yeah.
With that Origins one, some of the things in it can feel like this. For example, this big blue eyed fucking dragon thing.
Yeah.
It wiped everyone out within seconds. Yeah. It was like the most legendary thing. Yet they have it in one scene. They have it literally wandering around the castle freely, like a fucking cat. You know what I mean? Why is that just traipsing around? What do you think is going to happen?
Right.
Yeah. And then the big fight with the geezer that you know inevitably is going to fucking kill the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is it such a shit aim all of a sudden? Do you know what I mean? It's like watching fucking, you know, like Lord of the Rings where they're so sick at arrows and things. And as soon as it comes to like trying to hit the main guy, they just fuck it off. Like, how?
Yeah.
What's happened to your ability, bro? You just shook.
Especially when the monster going around the castle, they've spent two seasons with monsters and mages, and none of the mages have been able to control a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And they've all said, oh yeah, we can't do this, this is why we need witches. So why is this, you know, legendary, massive monster being able to be controlled by this one mage? And why has that magic been forgotten? Someone explain, please. Because that doesn't happen.
This is the other thing. When they first open the series with the bard, and they say, oh, you're going to have to tell this story, and I'm going to tell you what's happened. Firstly, why has everyone forgotten about it? Because everything else that's happening is literally because of that in the first place. But also, again, everything throughout the two series of The Witcher that you've mentioned has happened in this first series, in this Origins series, but no one has any fucking recollection of it.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah, it would already be a song. The only reason you know about it in the first place.
You know, like the humans turned up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
At no point in the two series of The Witcher have they said, fuck knows where we came from. We were having a good time on Earth. Do you know what I mean? I know it's like hundreds, thousands of years later, whatever, but still.
Yeah, no, I know. It doesn't make sense. In the books, it is explained that, or rather, in the books, it's not explained where they came from, but it's explained how they arrived and what happened and why they're at war and those kinds of things. Mm. And that's really all you need to do, but you need to do that. You can't, Anyway,
you can't we're not really, let it happen. And
We're not really selling it to people, but they should watch.
It was really good.
The Witcher series.
Yeah.
Maybe not Blood Origins, but watch.
Yeah, I would give it a swerve, the Origins. If you're interested in it, and you're interested in maybe, you know, what's happened beforehand, but it doesn't really make any relevancy to the rest of the story, unless they're to do another series or two of Origins, in which case maybe it would roll onto it, which would be cool.
And I would recommend, though, there's an animated kind of hour 20 long thing called The Nightmare of the Wolf.
Yeah, I haven't watched it, but I did see it was on there.
Well, that's obviously about Vesemir, and it's about the pogrom that destroys Kaer Morhen and most of the witches, and it explains why or how it came to be that they couldn't create any more witches. And it does it in totally accurate portrayal of what happens in the books.
Oh, really?
Which is the only... I mean, the first series is pretty good, but anyway, I would highly recommend that. I'm a big fan of anime, I don't know. No, not anime, I'm a fan of animated series.
Yeah, I get you.
I'm not about this kawaii waifu hentai bullshit. I'm talking about...
There's a lot going on with that.
there's some creepy dons out there with the body pillows. That's not I'm not fucking about that. I am, however, a fan of a good animated series like Castlevania. If people haven't watched that, if you haven't watched that, mate, right. It's voiced by the main guy. It's based on this series of games, which you might remember, Castlevania, like League of Shadows. No, well, it basically,
yeah, I do recollect. It's in like N64 thing.
Yeah, Konami. And it's basically like there are a series of games focusing on a family called the Belmonts, and they who are descended from the angel Gabriel, or meant to be, I think.
Okay.
And their kind of historical battle with Dracula.
Hmm.
Basically, Dracula is, you know, he's killed by one Belmont and then he comes back, or someone raises him from the dead and another Belmont has to put him down. Like, that's the series of classic games. They're classic games, really good. The soundtrack is fantastic, but the series is really good. I think it's Hideo Kojima actually has had a hand in doing the production of the series, but don't quote me on that. But anyway, do you know who Richard Armitage is? Do you remember that guy?
I've heard of the name.
He's one of those guys who's been in a lot of British dramas, but never like a A-list actor.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
If you Google him, Richard Armitage, you'll come up with a face that he did, like North and South.
Was it? Oh, yeah.
Period drama. Yeah. He's a great looking guy. But he's
in the Hobbit.
Yeah. He plays.
That main guy.
Who does he play? who does he play, actually? No, he plays one of the dwarves, doesn't he?
Yeah, I can't remember his name. Feely? It's the king under the mountain. It's the main fella.
Oh, Thorin. Plays Thorin. Yeah. Yes, of course he does.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he voices the main character. He's absolutely hilarious. And there's some other great standout characters. It's got four series. It's basically about him, Dracula's. That's brilliant. him, Dracula's half son, and a mage, and they all try and band together to put Dracula down. Essentially, anyway.
I mean, it sounds quite interesting. I'd like to watch it.
It really is. It aesthetically, it's very pleasing. The storyline is complete. The soundtrack is amazing. I've watched it through twice. It's great.
Oh wow. You know it's good if you're watching it more than once.
Moving on.
I've been fucking reading again.
Very nice.
Good. Have I already talked about this? I'm not sure. It's called Memento Mori.
No, but I am interested.
I haven't. Okay, I didn't think I had, but I've read it through twice now. So it's quite short. It's about 180 pages, sorry. And it is about the funerary culture, the death culture of the Romans.
Mm.
It's essentially about how long they lived, how they buried their dead, what superstitions they had about the dead, where they thought the dead go, what they thought you needed to do in life in order to earn a good death, those kinds of things. A pretty old, it's about 50 years old, probably, kind of classic theory in classics is that you can learn a lot about culture, or a huge amount, or even the most about culture, by the way that they buried their dead and what they put on their graves and how they buried them, that kind of thing. You know, there are many ways of burying your dead. The Romans went through the whole cycle, like at different points, like whole burial, interment was very popular. Then cremating people and putting them in cinerariums, which are like little jars. That was very popular.
Popularized or populated so many different cultures that they sort of took bits from each one.
As they grew and expanded, the religious beliefs shifted slightly. I mean, especially as Rome became a Christian nation towards the end of its life, like whole burial pretty much became the exclusive norm. Like some people were cremated, but the vast majority of people were interred as whole bodies again. But it went through the whole cycle. You know, there are only a finite number of ways that you can normally kind of dispose of a body. But what's interesting is just the way in which they view death. You know, so the phrase memento mori is a classic Latin phrase, which has it's various inevitable. Kind of origins. It means remember you will die.
Yeah.
And it's typically attributed to Julius Caesar, but it's really an old Latin Etruscan adage from hundreds of years before. And before that, you know, it's always been the case. Remember you will die. You are dust. Dust thou art, to dust returnest. That kind of thing. And what it's kind of challenging, the point, it goes through like elite Romans philosophical thinking as well. So it looks at Epicureanism, Stoicism, Peripateticism, Platonism, and touches on these kind of ancient schools of philosophy and what the elites in Rome thought. And some famous examples like Cato the Elder, who killed himself in one of the civil wars, things like that. So the value of suicide is touched on. So that's probably a trigger warning for people. But for instance, at one point, the Romans believed that the best death was the devotio, which is the death in service to the state.
Mm-hmm.
So if that means killing yourself. So if the choice is to die of old age or kill yourself in service of the state, however that might be, you should choose to kill yourself in service of the state, that kind of a thing. So the state is a wholly different thing for them than it is for us. But it's just the book is basically challenging you to confront your own mortality, because the Romans were very conscious of it. You know, they were extremely expansionist nation. They dominated about just over a quarter of the world's landmass at their height, which for a world where modes of transport were still very rudimentary is an unbelievable feat. So it's the main point is this is what the Romans thought about death. This is how they faced it. You know, only 8% of the population ever made it over 60.
Wow.
That's one statistic I pulled out. About at any one time in Rome, about half the population consisted of teenagers. Only one in three children would make it past one, and half of all Roman children were dead by the age of five.
Blimey.
So if you think about that level of death, then...
I wonder they were obsessed with it.
Yeah, it's all around you, right? And the way they commemorated people on gravestones is very different, really, to us. And yet, sometimes, oddly enough, the same. They chose to focus on the family of the dead and on what the dead will be remembered for, which is not dissimilar to us. So yeah. It's stuff like that, which is fascinating. Although they didn't obsess about dates like we do. You know, we put the day they were born, the day they died.
Yeah.
But the Romans didn't really remember that. They said he lived from the year of this Roman emperor, this consulship to this consulship, or this emperor's reign number four to this emperor's reign number six, or something. You know, they didn't really care too much about that, and sometimes they didn't put a date on there at all. They just say this man was old and he died. You know, he was a good man, that kind of a thing. A common thing that they put on their graves was what provision that the person buried had made for their slaves and servants after they died, or what provision they had made for their family. So here lies Vitruvius Flavius. He left this amount of money to his slaves and freed them.
Blimey.
You know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's quite short. It is very eminently readable. I'd say you could pick it up and read it in a week easily. And I would highly recommend it to anyone who is either recently bereaved or just curious about death. Because we live in a society now which is so anaesthetized to death, because you're so used to people living just fucking far too
forever.
Long.
Forever, yeah.
And you're used to a lot of people being very old. and death is something that you hear about, but you never really come face to face with, because you don't see your grandma's dead body.
Jesus.
You don't see, you know.
Well, in some cultures, it's still a thing, isn't it? That you have like open caskets, or, you know, what's it called when they have them? They have them open for like a week, and you can go and visit it. And
yeah, lying in state.
That's the one. Yeah. Thank you. That's what they did with old Queenie, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right.
But it wasn't open casket. Right.
It's you know, you don't want to become obsessed by death, which is what a lot of South American cultures can err on, where they. Yeah. Well, at least historically, things like the Il de Muerta, or the Night of the Dead.
I was going to say that, yeah.
They're like a whole real festival about it, and that's, I think that's wrong, not in a moral sense, but in like, I think that's the wrong way to treat death myself. However, they're certainly much more open about it. It's a real fact of life, and I think that we in the West have an unhealthy obsession with ignoring death. Pretending like it doesn't happen.
I totally agree with you.
And pretending like death is like it's something which happens in the third world, but it doesn't happen here. You know, death, people die, fine, but we bury them before we ever see them, so we only ever remember them in life. But I just think that's unhealthy. So, great book for anyone who is struggling with their own mortality. You know,
thank you very much.
That's all right.
Can I give you a little excerpt of, I don't know if that's the right word. There's Kate Tempest, or Kay Tempest, as she now likes to be known. There's a song of hers called "All Humans Too Late." I don't know if you're aware of her. She's a
no, not really.
She's a sort of a, well, she was a slam poet, and then she turned into a poet musician, sort of. You know, like, so. She had an album called the Book of Traps and Lessons, and it was she started writing plays and things, and she had things on in the Globe Theatre and things like that, and she made this album, and she wanted the album to be able to be performed on stage as a production, as opposed to a performance of her just saying words. Anyway, so she's quite a deep thinker, I suppose, you know, like, it comes across in her lyrics, sort of thing. But anyway, there's this one particular song called "All Humans Too Late." She says,
"And we're dead. All of me knows it. We should be preparing ourselves. We should be meeting the stages of death in our dreams, noticing all that we sense in a fond way. Aware that the ears and the taste buds won't work when the soul goes out."
Now, my point of that is that she's saying, you know, we don't think about death at all. You're right. Exactly what you're saying, that we're so desensitized to it. And then when it does come a cropper, I think we're so... I think when someone close to us passes away, I think we're so shocked by it that we don't know how to deal with it. Because we haven't thought about it at all. We haven't even given it a second thought. You know, we just think everyone's going to live till they're super old, and that's it. But I mean, I think personally that's a... I don't know, it's a good thing to think about death sometimes.
Yeah, well...
It certainly grounds you. So, I mean, it puts things into perspective as well. Like, inevitably we will die. That's the way it is. You should come to terms with it sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it this way, in the age in ancient Rome, by the age you were 20, only 1 in 5 Romans had a living grandparent.
That's pretty mad.
So that means, and that's only to say one. So the other four, all four of their grandparents were dead. That one guy might possibly have a granny or a granddad, or who knows, a granny and a granddad. Obviously, the richer you got, the more that expectancy went on. But
the less likely you were to go to war.
they were exactly right here.
Yeah,
I think that's right. people focus too much on things that they have in the now, and they don't think about what's going to happen when that person's gone. They don't value the time they have with them whilst they are still alive.
Yeah, that's a definite.
And they pay lip, people pay lip service to it, don't they? They say that, like, you talk to death about people, and you know, I've done this. I'm not sure whether you have, but I've talked to people and they've been like, oh, you know, I know they won't be around forever, and you just know that that person doesn't really understand what that looks like.
Like, they haven't understood the gravity of it. They've just, you know, it's brushing it off as, yeah, I know, and I will spend more time with them, and I will do this. But it's like you said, it's lip service. It's literally just, no.
Yeah.
I don't think people put enough thought into everything. You know, like, I mean, even silly things. Like, I mean, I get in the car sometimes, and I mean, I imagine everyone does, where they get in the car and they drive around, and you think, what a knobhead, just cut me up or whatever else. But what does it matter? Why are you getting angry about it? Because we're all going to die. It doesn't matter. Does it affect you in any way? Let them fucking go if they want to be somewhere a minute faster. The same with everything, man. Like, I don't know. People get too... They're too quick to jump to...
Well, they resort to their whole emotion, their whole psychological response too quickly. People are very quick to engage every part of the brain that they can in every situation that they're in. Which means that you can't take a step back whilst you're in a situation and have a look at the world. Like, if you're always using all of your emotional power in the moment, you will never have a minute where you are a little bit involved in what's going on, but also able to think broadly about your life as a whole, not just as a series of days. You know, you see people walking around being completely obsessed with financial problems with family, mm-hmm. you know, the weather, fucking the queues that they're in, their children screaming. And unless you're able in those moments where everything else in the now is screaming for your attention to just kind of go on autopilot and deal with it, but also think back to the past or think forward, you're only ever going to be, you know, half of what you could be, because you'll only ever be in the present, and the present is not where it's at, man.
It's pretty deep.
It is.
The present is not where it's at.
It's not, because you can spend your whole life, you will spend your whole life in the present. Like, yeah. that's all you'll ever do. But if you only ever do that, that is all you'll ever do. You'll never be able to plan and think. It's not about saying, oh, you know, because the other option is to be like hypochondriac about the future. You know, you're just obsessed with where you're going to get. Or I kind of feel my age who say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm on the grind now. So I'm going to spend my 20s grinding. And by the time I get to 30, I'll have money and I'll have a house or something. And I know people like that. And they are sacrificing the best years of their health.
Mm-hmm.
They're sacrificing the best years of their life to make a family, to you know, to build something like a relationship. And they'll get to 30 and they may well have money, but they won't have anything else.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They'll have no connection to anything or anyone. They'll look back on their last 10 years and think, well, I've pissed that up the wall, just working and working and working, and that's it.
And yeah, they may well have a lot of money, but you can be lonely in a Lamborghini, man.
Oh, that's the title of an episode, surely.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, lonely in a Lambo.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, there's. I remember there was a there was an interview with Bob Marley.
Are you a rich man?
What do you mean rich? What do you mean?
You have a lot of possessions, a lot of money in the bank.
Position make you rich? I don't have that type of richness. My richness is life.
That's the central tenet of the Bible. Well, no, hang on, that's not the central tenet. The central tenet is believe in my name and you should be saved. One of the central tenets of Christ's teaching is that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, because the idea is that the richer you become in wealth and in glory and money, the less likely you are to give that up for the sake of something greater.
Mm.
So even if you're not a Christian, I think this is relevant, because what Christ is saying there is, look, if you spend your whole life chasing wealth, you might get that, but you're going to lose everything else. So even if you haven't consciously decided to just chase wealth, if that's what you get to the end of your life and that's the only thing you have, that's what you've done, and that's the choice that you've made, or that's the choice that life has made for you.
Mm.
It's not good. I wouldn't.
Not ideal.
But there's something to be cheerful about, really, is that this, you know, we don't live in a world dominated so totally by money that you literally can't do anything but chase that. Yeah, that you have options.
Yeah.
They are there. You just you need to make the right choices. Otherwise, you end up like you know, depressed, wage slave.
Literally that. Yeah. Overworked.
Ladies and gentlemen, this man is actually 19, but if you could see him, he looks 35.
I've got the wrinkles of a 70-year-old.
Yeah. You're looking a bit better than normal, actually. Maybe it's because you're wearing colour, you know. It makes you look less pale.
Less washed out is the thing, isn't it?
Yeah. You're not wearing black. Yeah. It's nice. Yeah. I like that colour on you. Yeah, the colour. Lilac. I like lilac. Yeah.
It is nice, to be fair, isn't it? It's nice.
Did your missus get you that?
No, do you know what? I bought it because it was her favourite colour.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's technically, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Appreciate that. Well, orange looks good on you. Brings out the ginger in your hair.
Yeah, it does actually. Yeah. Brings out the copper. I got a question for you, by the way, before I forget. Yes,
please.
Just before we have to move on. I bought a pack of stamps yesterday and...
Oh, don't you start with these stamps, you knob.
No, it's a very quick question. Why do they have a QR code?
So the reason for it actually is because what they want to, it's easier for them to automate and distribute, as it were.
Yeah.
So they can scan the, what their idea was in the end goal, I believe, is to tether the stamp to the letter. So instead of it trying to read a handwritten address on the letter, it will then just scan the QR code and it will know where it's going.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that involves either someone by hand going through every single handwritten letter and tethering it to the QR code, or the consumer doing it in the first place, which is never going to happen.
It's just a fact.
But then, so when they first brought these out, these QR code stamps, they said, oh, you can, as the consumer, you can scan it and you can, what did they say? It was something, you know, like you can add a GIF or something or other. So then when the person that receives it scans it, they can open it and see a GIF. What's the fucking point? Right, just Facebook message them, you cunt.
Yeah.
What's a waste of time?
It's novel.
It was essentially trying to become more relevant. And it's...
That doesn't work, does it?
I don't know. No.
All right, well, that's fine. I just wondered. Yeah. I'd never seen that before. And I'd never seen purple stamps either. But...
No, I don't think I have before for these ones, to be fair.
Yeah, it came in a 4.
Very so... Yeah, it's, you know, it irritates me because they used to do a book of 8 or 16 and now they only do 4 or...
They do 4, 8, and 12 now.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's, I don't know.
I asked for a book of 8, and then they said, no, so we don't have any packs of 8. I can give you 2 packs of 4.
For twice the price.
And I was like, how much is that compared to the book of 8? And said, yeah, it's like way more expensive. So I just had a pack of 4. But I'm here with 4 stamps. Like, what the fuck am I going to do with 4 stamps? Like, I'm going to send 4 letters, but I send a lot more than that.
Hope so.
It's just anyway. Yeah.
Do you know what I found genuinely is easier now? I mean, and this is what they're trying to move to anyway, is, you know, you can go onto the Royal Mail website and you can, essentially, you can arrange collections with the postman, even for letters, and they'll come to your door, because we have to come to your door if we have any letters for you anyway. We'd then come to your door and collect any mail you have, any parcels, anything like that. Which I mean, personally, I think it's a good idea, but we're going to end up being, the post boxes will be irrelevant, and you'll end up being inundated with collections and labels fucking everything. Do you know we have printed labels that we have to bring to the door in case people are too fucking lazy to print it themselves? And it is painful when you've got, I had one the other day, this lady, she had something like 15 parcels before Christmas it was. And I had a ream of about 20 fucking labels, right? And they're, you know, they're these like big square ones.
Sizable
had, like,
things,
20 of them. Because some of them were going abroad. So I had to have the international label and the, what do you call it, like the stamp duty post, whatever the fuck it's called. But then I got to the door and the lady said, oh, I don't know which one's for who, because obviously I haven't written the names down on them because you bring the labels. So I spent probably half an hour there, honest to God, just with her looking at the thing, like touching it and going, oh, that must be for so-and-so. And then you put the label on, she goes, oh, no, it's not for them. Well, I can't take the fucking label off now, can I, Mildred?
Fuck me.
Mess. Absolute mess. But other than that, I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah, that's interesting then.
And it's cheaper as well. If you buy postage online of any sort, whether it be a letter or a parcel or anything, it's cheaper to pay for it online than it is to go to the physical shop and pay for it.
What's the first class stamp online then?
I think stamps are the same price. Sorry.
Yeah.
But everything else is, so I think for a second class letter is 68p. And then for first class is
82.
Something like that, isn't it? Yeah. I was going to say 70 something, but that was before they changed it.
Yeah, it's not cheap. Jeez. I mean, it's got to be near 80, because that four stamps there cost me about £3.70.
Yeah, it's about 8 something, Pete, isn't it?
Outrageous.
Unreal. But anyway, so like for example, if you were to send a small parcel, this is really mundane for anyone listening, but fuck it. To send a small parcel through, if you go to like the post office and give it to them, it'll cost you £1.65 for a large letter, say. But if you paid for it online, it costs you £1.35.
That's a significant difference.
I mean, yeah, but that's what they're trying to move towards anyway. They're trying to essentially fuck postmasters off and all post offices, and then just have it all via the door to door people anyway. Do you know what I mean?
They really should just make it mandatory for you to tell them whether you're going to print the label or not, and then put the onus on you. I mean, that would make sense to me, because obviously if you don't have a printer, then that service where you print it off for them, is that's great. But if you have a printer, you should be printing them off yourself. They should just make it mandatory for you to know whether someone's going to print them off or not. And if they haven't printed it off, that's their fault.
Well, so this is so when you order it online, when you pay for it online, there is an option whether you want the label printed for you or whether you're going to print it. But the issue I have at the moment, and I'm sure a lot of posties up and down the country have, is you go to the door, you knock on the door, the person answers it, they go, oh, I haven't printed the label, do you have it? And when you say no, they then fumble around, they go to their phone, laptop, whatever, they go and print the label off, then they have to stick it on, and you spend like 10-15 minutes at a door waiting, like for something that they didn't even, and then some of them I've had where they've answered the door and they said, oh, I didn't know whether you were going to collect it today or not. But you set it up to be collected today. You literally put the right, that today's date on it, so you knew I was coming. It doesn't matter what time I was coming, you should have had it ready. Do you know what I mean?
And also you should probably just, you know, realize that posties don't have 50 minutes to spend whilst you spaz about. Like, I think it should be perfectly acceptable for you just to say, well, sorry, if you don't have a print it off, I can't take it. So
we are allowed to, but I feel terrible for doing so. So we're meant to be allowed to give them something like 3 minutes at the door where we stand and have a little chat and collect the parcel, scan it, whatever. But if it's not ready within the three, I mean, my partner, he's done it several times in the last 3 months where he's gone to the door, it's not ready, he's gone, well, I'm not taking it, I'll collect it tomorrow, don't worry about it. But it's your problem, isn't it? You should have had it ready. That's life.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
People just take advantage of you, mate.
Well, I don't mind, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm being paid for every minute I'm on the job, so take as long as you want. Invite me in for a cup of tea, fuck it. going to be like that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Do you know what I mean? I'll have breakfast while I'm here, love.
Yeah, those eggs for me. Thanks, mate.
Yeah. What are you cooking?
That's a John move, that is. If he was a postman, he'd be scrounging everything off people.
Are those unopened, ready salted crisps you've got there?
Brilliant. I can smell the crumbs in there. I know you finished it, but can I lick the inside, please? Why not give us a tweet? We're @2spoons_coffee.